Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Promise, and we are so glad you could join us. But before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for providing for our every need, Lord. And Lord, I also thank you for giving us your life, Lord, and giving us your perfect example, Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, I also thank you for forgiving us for our sins, Lord, and giving us the ability to forgive others. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Glad to have you with us as we continue our study of the Word of God, focusing currently on 2 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 3, and this morning we're moving forward to cover verses 6 through 12. So, if you bear with me, I will read this, and then we can get to hear what the Lord has to share with us. So it begins. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Amen.
Amen.
So, the floor is now open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and to ask any questions that you have. So, who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, Layla.
Something that the Lord has been teaching me concerning like authority and how I walk, and just showing me that I shouldn't be the one who, what's the word? I guess it's exercise, but try to dominate somebody else with my position.
Lords it over them.
Yes, lord it over someone and exact and extract from them. And we see it's clearly a problem that is associated to the heart. It was here in the time of the Thessalonians, and it's here currently in our own country and many countries around the world where those are in leadership. They are using their authority to steal from people, to hurt them, and to do other unwholesome and ungodly things that they ought not to be doing. And we as the church and those that are in leadership, whether it be the leader of your own body or a leader of a house, a church, a school, whatever it is, that you're not the one who is perpetrating that bad behavior that is causing shame and bringing shame upon the gospel in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're examples and we are ambassadors on his behalf. And just like the ambassadors for a country, they walk according to whatever the president or the prime minister or the nation leader, I'm not quite sure what they're called, but we'll call them nation leaders, told them to do what their standards of operation and conduct are, and they are to carry those out. They don't get to deviate and do their own thing. Likewise, we are ambassadors on the behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we maintain the standard that he set and the personal conduct that he said we were supposed to have, and we don't deviate and do our own thing. And Paul is addressing that here with the Thessalonians. He's saying, hey, look, we have this authority. The Father gave us this authority, but we're not using it in the way that the adversary would have people use it to steal and rob and hurt and harm. But we used it, our authority, to show you an example of how the Lord Jesus behaved. We saw in the Gospels where Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, hey, He who desires to be great among you, or the first among you, let him be a servant to all. He didn't say, kick your feet up on the bed of ease and have them feed you grapes and fan you with palm leaves. Mm-hmm. He said, work. And then you see that repeated in 1 Thessalonians when Paul was like, hey, this is what we commanded you. If a man will not work, he will not eat. It wasn't something, a great idea Paul came up with. That's what the Father said. Go back and read Genesis when he was talking to Adam. He said, in toil and from the sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread. That meant he was doing work. He wasn't sitting kicked up in a hammock, swinging back and forth all the livelong day like the grasshopper and getting food. He had to work for it. And we have work to do as well. Yes, it is an easy, as you said, Mommy, in other episodes that we've done, it's no longer striving in what we think we should be doing, but it is still work nonetheless. There are still tasks and assignments that each of us are supposed to be completing, and we can't do that if we're, you know, too busy trying to lord our position over others, or we're being busybodies, which that's going to tie to another point, but I'll give somebody else a chance to speak on that. But it's just important that we remember who we are and where we are with the Lord, and we are tracking with him and only doing what he says to do and only saying what he says to do, because that is the only way everyone's needs will be met and ministered to.
Amen. He's also giving them instruction of how to keep themselves, like in regard to the not being a busybody, working, doing what's right, what you're supposed to be doing, tending to the business that God has set before you, but also not keeping company with people who are proclaiming to be of Christ, but reject the principles of God, and making a clear distinction between the two. How do you identify this brother or sister who's being unruly or disorderly? And just so that they can keep their themselves pure, right? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So not only that they can keep themselves pure and untouched by the adversary by way of not being impacted by seeds of unrighteousness that would come from someone else, but also knowing what's right behavior for them to walk in. So I think that's really good. And he reminded them in 1 Thessalonians, I believe that's chapter 4, that he told them to lead a quiet life and not be a busybody. And that's still important. He's bringing that up again. That must have been a lot of, you know, people who felt like they should speak on things, or they needed to go and, you know, stir up strife. And that's a human, I'll say carnal flesh that would like to do those kind of things. But being at peace and in shalom and focusing on what the Lord told you to focus on is the business that we should be engaging in. Do what the Lord has asked you uniquely and individually to do. I appreciated what you said, Layla, about not trying to control other people, but instead engaging in self-control, making sure that you are doing what God asked you to do again, and that you are not trying to lord over or browbeat or control others, even if you do have, for some reason, some other authority entrusted to you, but just being respectful and also valuing the humility that God said is the true sign of leadership and service unto the Lord, but that others reap the benefit and the fruit thereof, is what the Lord looks at and values and esteems highly.
Yes, Mommy. Something else that I wanted to mention about the busybody thing. Mommy and Dad, you tell us all the time, and this goes to the mind your own beeswax. That's how, you know, my mom and my grandmother say, mind your own beeswax. Do what you're supposed to be doing. If you go back and read Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 10. I'm not quite sure what verse it is. I have to look it up. But in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. So if you're busy going about doing things that the Lord didn't call you to, there's a really good chance to fall into sin. And it's not that the Lord is setting traps for you. That's just what the adversary does. He puts tar pits anywhere he can think of. So the way to remain safe for you and to safeguard those who you are a shepherd over, that you have account for their well-being, as an example, like, Dad has an account for us. He's the head of the household, so there is an accountability to the Lord that he has to lead us well. to defend and protect us. Mommy has a similar role to fulfill, and then we have a role to fulfill in that as well. We each work together. So if we're each walking in the place that God called us to walk in with grace, with peace, and with mercy, letting the love of God be shown and displayed on full blast, then nobody in the house will suffer on our account. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So as much as depends on you, don't put a stumbling block in front of your brother by your unruly behavior. Mm-hmm. And even with Paul and saying don't keep company with such a one, notice he didn't say browbeat or condemn such a one. That's not your job. It's not my job. And that's not even the Lord's job. He doesn't condemn anybody. He convicts. He corrects. He directs and he protects, but he does not condemn. That is the adversary only. So Paul, separate yourself, as you said, Mommy, keep yourself clean, but that doesn't mean now you have to cast the brother or the sister to the wolves. It doesn't now entitle you to be nasty to them. And that's a lesson that I had to learn the hard way. I thought, okay, well, you're not doing what Mommy and Dad said you're supposed to be doing, or what I thought you were supposed to be doing, or what the Lord said that you're supposed to be doing. That's a green light for me to be nasty and rude to you, mm-hmm, and unloving. And that was so wrong. I can't even put that into words for you. And the Lord had to show me that, like, I didn't call you. I didn't say that. Point to me and my word that I wrote where I said, okay, Layla, now you get the green light to be rude.
To be the abuser of the brethren. Not to the accuser, but the abuser of the brethren.
They both start with A's. But see, Lord, there's a difference there. I'm abusing. Mm-hmm. No, he never said that. He never called us to any of it, to participate in any of that kind of behavior. He said, walk in love. And actually, read James, restore such a one in love.
That's right.
So that's what our job is supposed to be doing. We're using our authority to usher people closer to the Father, not drive them away, not to get and extract and twist what we want out of them. It's so they can see the love of God shining through us, and they have a chance to be one with the Father, and they have a chance to experience God's life-bringing power in their life and the life of their children or whoever they're responsible for. And we don't have to stand with shame before our Father, having to answer for the rude words we said, the honking of the horn in traffic, or the then joining ourselves with them in their disorderly behavior. We don't have to answer for that in that way, because we would have done everything that we were supposed to do as dictated by the Father. So that's an important lesson that the Lord was having me take away from this today.
Amen. Your scripture you were looking for was Proverbs 10:19.
Ooh, I was close. Thank you, Dad.
You were, yes. Promise, you had something to share, sir.
Yes, Lily, you began to talk about how, well, at the beginning, you were talking about how that the Holy Spirit and ultimately God does not want us to be indebted to other people, but having a complete reliance on what God is doing. And the Lord was, first he reminded me of Matthew 6, 25 through the end of the chapter. And because it is long for the moment, I will not read it. But ultimately it's talking about how, because God has us inside his hand, that no matter, all of our needs are taken care of, and God has already given us the ability and the destiny track to walk on it, to receive everything God has wanted us and ordained for us to receive. That aside, because that is, God has the destiny track that is going to bring us closer to God and also going to bless us, it is up to us, in order for us to first make sure that we're orientating ourselves in the direction of God. Layla, you talked about busybodies. Busybodies are more concerned about other people than themselves. They're they're not focused enough to actually benefit themselves.
And so just so we all and the listeners understand, focusing on yourself means coming up in Christ, maturing in the things of Christ, right? As opposed to, what do I get out of this and how do I bless and benefit my life, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. We've been talking here and that's why I'm saying it plainly, about your need to be focused on the Lord and on, I'll say, the people the Lord has placed on your left and right, right? Your neighbor, yes, as yourself. Not being focused on self. Now, as it pertains to what he's talking about here, not being busybodies, but right, focusing on your own matters, your own affairs, that's between you and the Lord and your growth and development in him. Okay?
Yes.
All right. Now, continue, sir.
And how once when we're obedient to God's plan, God is able to, as you said, that grow us inside of Christ. And as a result, because God does not want us to be walking around barefoot or destitute or lacking, God has given us the provisions both to accomplish God's plan and also to have a right heart towards God. Because we know God, if we deny God, that is our own fault. So as a result, God's going to ordain the situation, or he's going to make the situation around us so that it's not his fault that we disobey him or reject him. As in, God's not going to purposely make it difficult for us to choose him, because we know that is contrary to his character. Mm-hmm. And because it is contrary to his character, the only opportunity that it may seem it's that way is if we open the door for him via disobedience, which is also what Paul is addressing here. I believe verse 6, where Paul said, do not technically associate with anyone who's not following what God has said, which is the tradition that Paul is talking about, which is ultimately being obedient to what God is telling us to do, saying what he says, what he tells us to say, and doing what he tells us to do.
And so let's make a distinction here, because Paul is not telling them to avoid people who are in the world. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, who are we being a light to, and who are we leading to salvation if we run away from them? And they're obviously not keeping the traditions. They're not keeping the word of God. They're not living in a way that honors the Lord or obeying him in any way, shape, or form. They're acting like their current father, the devil, right? So he's not.
But neither, so in short, they're not professing Christ either.
Exactly. So he's not saying stay away from them, because who are you going to be a light to, right? Brethren don't need the light because they're already in the light, correct? Those who are in darkness are the ones who need the light. But he's saying for someone who has professed Christ, but they're living in opposition to Christ, reject that one. Restore them in love if they want the opportunity, but do not allow your good, or what does it say? Evil company corrupts good manners. Right? So do not allow yourself to be tainted by someone who is saying, yeah, I believe in the Lord, and pretending to be a brethren when actually they are not. Okay? Because that's something totally different. That's someone who has tasted the goodness of the Lord and yet is rejecting and refusing him. That one. Keep yourself from that one.
Yes, mommy. And sorry, but something else that the Lord was sharing with me about Paul talking about being a burden to the Thessalonians, he wasn't, again, to the extraction. Isaiah 61 verses 1-3 say this: The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Special emphasis on the proclaiming liberty to the captive. So Jesus himself, the creator of all of heaven and earth, came to bring liberty. He didn't come to put more chains on humans. Mm-hmm. Or anybody else, because he liked the way they look. They look better than silver. And the adversary is the one who ensnares and binds people. So also here, the warning for us is to make sure that we're not putting chains on the creation that the Lord redeemed, just like he redeemed us. and set us free and think of how much we don't want people to put chains on us, we should not be turning around and doing that to others through our misconduct.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Don't be that guy.
Or girl.
Or the brother who is acting rebelliously or disorderly against the traditions. Don't be that person. And also don't keep company with that person. Amen. Amen.
And the Lord will lead you and guide you in all things, right? And so you don't need to make the or separate yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Just hold it up before the Lord.
He will and ask the Lord what he wants
you to do.
Mm-hmm. God is gracious.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. All right, we're going to pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, promise.
Lord, I thank you for giving us your knowledge, Lord, and giving us the ability to become one with you, Lord. Lord, I also thank you for being our God, Lord, and being our Father in every area and aspect, and giving us the knowledge of your love for us, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. We love you, God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop. Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.